Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Copy in Copenhagen. My name is Owen and I'm with the Marius.
The Marius. Hello. Hi.
I'm normally with the Abbey, but the Abbey's not here at the moment, but the Abbey will return.
Yes, Abbey Watch 2024.
2024. Yes. This is Copy in Copenhagen, the podcast. It's a podcast about life in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you want more? Yeah, sure. We'll talk about Denmark.
Oh.
Oh, that's not good enough. How about Scandinavia?
Give me more.
Anything at all you bring to the table. How about that?
As long as we can find a little hook to Scandinavia.
There we go.
Yes.
That's the podcast.
Which one is this, though, of the podcast?
Oh, this is the chatty episode of the podcast. Because we do news episodes on Friday.
Okay.
And then we do chatty episodes on Monday. And then we do exclusive Patreon episodes once a month for our Patreon listeners. And you know, it might be more than once a month. We just talk to people on Patreon. And it really, 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 really helps us to keep doing this. So please, please, for the love of God, if you're thinking about it, join Patreon. It'll make such a difference to us. Oh my God.
Anyway. Abby will return for the next episode if you do it.
Yeah.
She's protesting right now. She's on a hunger strike.
She's on a hunger strike. I'm gonna lift to this.
Oh, you're lifting.
I'm lifting it up.
Are we standing for this?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah, we're standing for this.
Oh my god, what's happening now?
I have an ergonomic table with the desk, and so we
very,
never use it.
Very high.
So is it too high?
Very high. I like it. I like it. I like that sound.
Is that better? There you go. All right. Okay. All right. So it's the Monday episode. We're gonna have a chat.
That's so Danish to have like an ergonomic table.
I feel like
in every office.
I know.
Yeah.
And sitting on your exercise ball and rolling on it while you're returning emails.
Yeah, returning emails. Yeah.
So full.
I'm just gonna.
Again, like last week, Abby was clear on like who came up with the idea for shows and stuff like topics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, we've talked a lot about what we want to talk about in this episode.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we want to talk about. So we've broken it down.
Yeah.
There's going to be more. We reckon this works, but we're going. I've made an executive producer's decision.
Yeah.
And this is what it's going to be about. Marius, what was your most Danish moment?
Oh my God.
If you don't trust Marius's answer, you can turn the podcast off now.
If you've listened to this show before, like I'm born and raised in this country. I have a Canadian dad, but my schooling is here. I've done all the after schooling activities. Like on paper, mm-hmm. I'm as Danish as they get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like rye bread.
Mm-hmm.
I bike a bicycle. Uh-huh. And I speak the English.
Yeah.
But I've never really felt super Danish.
Okay.
And I maybe never wanted to feel super Danish. I've never had that like need. Well, a little bit when I was a kid, I think. So when you ask me about what was my most Danish moment, what came to mind is that me and my parents, when I was between probably from 7 to 12, let's say, we would go like only on bike holidays, like rain, any weather.
Uh-huh.
We would just every summer get on the bikes, get the camping tent gear, put it on the back of the bikes.
Yeah.
We would get the trankia, you know, the gas, cook your own stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't think of it as Danish back then because all my other friends, probably parents had a bit more money. They would fly somewhere, and I thought that was the Danish thing to do.
Uh-huh, okay,
but I actually think they weren't Danish. We were super Danish.
Okay, okay.
On our bikes, you know, come rain, come shine.
Yeah,
seeing the beautiful flat country of Denmark. So that's the most Danish I've ever felt.
So. And you'd go into campsites, like you'd cycle to a campsite, set up tent.
Yeah. And my dad was a bit militaristic about this.
Okay.
Like he just wanted to, he really enjoys biking. That's his favorite thing about Denmark. He came from Canada and like they wouldn't, he was like, he didn't understand that you would just bike everywhere.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, different size country and doesn't make sense necessarily in Canada. You can't bike everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just like, this is amazing.
Mm.
The more leisurely way to go on a bike holiday would mm-hmm. be like you bike somewhere,
mm-hmm.
then you stay there for a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe you bike, you know, then you take small day trips, but you know, you don't pack up all your gear.
Yeah.
Like you have a tent you can come
and
back
to. This is the military aspect of it?
No, my dad, we would go to one campsite.
Okay, right.
Like sleep there, uh-huh. eat, sleep, you know, pitch the tent.
Oh, okay.
Next right. morning.
Up and out.
Next campsite.
Right.
And we went
0800, you're out, you're on the road.
Yeah, because okay. we wouldn't go like 20Ks. We would go like 60, 80Ks.
Jeez.
I shit you not.
Jeez.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of the countryside of Denmark and Jutland and Funen
mm-hmm.
On a bike. And it was a bit traumatic back then, but I think fondly back on it now.
It's interesting you say that for two reasons. One is I was with a Danish friend of mine ages ago and totally out of, I can't remember what the conversation was about, but he asked me, he's like, do you do that? And I was like, what?
Bike holidays? Or?
No, camping. Do you go to campsites?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, do they exist in Ireland? Like, yeah, I mean, but he was like, but that's a very Danish thing. Campsites are very Danish. Campsites mm-hmm. and caravans are very Danish. And I never understood that, but now that you're saying it sounds like they are?
I think they're quite, yeah.
Question mark?
Question mark. Good intonation there.
Yeah.
I would say it is. I don't think the way we did it, I think it was more potential car holiday or a camping van where you brought some bikes along.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, I think there was always a bunch of families around and children and I would always be like, make friends. And then we were off the next day.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So,
poor Marius. Little Marius and his lost friends.
Only child.
Oh, no.
I got good at being on my own. sounds really sad. But yeah. So I think it is a very Danish thing to sort of go on camping holidays.
The other interesting thing about that question is to any, like, I'm asking you and you understand the context of the situation. We're doing a podcast in English in Denmark about Scandinavia, right?
Mm.
It's Copenhagen and Denmark, Scandinavia. But if I was with an Irish person in an Irish podcast, or if I was French and I was in a French podcast and I said, like, what is the most French memory you have? That would just be, what is the most anything memory you have? Because it doesn't make sense to ask someone, what is the most event there ever was. Like, if you ask me, what's the most Irish thing I've ever done? If an Irish person asked me, what's the most Irish thing? Like, yeah, it would be like tongue-in-cheek, you give an answer.
Mm.
Like, I had a pint with a leprechaun on you know, on Croagh Patrick, right? Something like that. It'd be, but like, it's a weird question to ask. Out of your own nationality, what is the most nationalistic thing you've done?
Yeah.
Like, it does, like, it's weird.
It is a weird question, yes.
But you're able to answer it. And why do you think you're able to answer it? Why do you think you have the ability? And, like, I know, of course, context, but, like, do you think you have in fact, I know you do. You have a better insight into this.
I don't know. I have a different insight in the sense that, yeah, I think just, like probably a lot of other Danes have, you know, a parent from another country.
Yeah.
And I think that just gives you somewhat of an outsider's perspective, but still you're also very much, if you're born and raised, like you're in the culture and mm-hmm. like you get the cultural references,
mm-hmm.
but you're not necessarily feeling like 100% part of it.
Yeah.
So like it's this weird sort of gray area where I'm like, this definitely my country. I definitely belong here.
Yeah.
Get all the cultural references and sort of. But do I feel any kind of strong connection to them?
Mm-hmm.
No. But do I do that to Canada or, you know, no, not not really either. So yeah, it's just this weird in the middle. Marius in the middle.
Like you were. Did you always feel? Sorry, I'm just gonna point to you and ask you. There's no one else in the room, so
well, I feel like I can't ask you about your most Irish moment. Which
you can. Okay, I can come up with an answer.
Yeah, okay, well.
But I'm asking you first.
Sure.
Do you like when you're in school? Like, were you, because your dad is Canadian.
Canada daddy.
Great name.
Yeah.
Because you got a Canada daddy.
Yeah.
were you always aware of the international aspect of your life, or were you like, when you were a kid, say 5 years, 6 years old in school, were you like, I'm Danish and I talk English sometimes, bye? Like, what, no, what
and,
was
and,
it?
No, and I don't know, because I can't remember, but I didn't speak English for a long time, and my dad was a little worried, because I like, it wasn't until I was like six that I just started like kind of just, oh, he's fluent. Because I'd heard it, and I think I understood it, but I think I had some kind of, there was something embarrassing about it, and I can't remember, like, I'm guessing that that's why, because maybe when my dad would, like, my dad speaks, his Danish is very good, it's almost, I think he has a better Danish, like, vocabulary than me, he has a bit of an accent, but completely fluent, but probably back in the day, it was less good, and maybe I picked up on, like, I think you as a, your kid, you're very sensitive, or you notice as soon as you feel a little different, or there's some kind of, yeah, something that isn't 100% like the others. So I think maybe I picked up on that somehow, and that has that made me in the beginning sort of like, oh, I'm different and I want to be like everyone else. And it made me want to be very Danish. And then I think later in life, it's been more of a like rebellion towards like, yeah, I don't really need to feel that Danish. Or like, I've never really, didn't really feel truthful.
Was there a flip-flop moment? Was there a moment where you're like, actually, what, I'm a bit of everything?
Yeah, or I think I had a try hard moment of not being Danish for many years.
Really?
Yeah, like just really just
like teenagers or what?
Yeah. Where I now like a bit more fluid. I embrace my Danish.
Yeah.
And yeah. And,
like, yeah.
Whatever other side is.
Yeah. I suppose that's just like I can imagine. There's just like. Would that coincide with like just a rebellious aspect of you as a, like a younger age? Because like a lot of people,
well,
have
we all have like a some kind of teenage rebellion. Right? I think that was just mine. Lack of anything more traumatic to rebel against.
But like, I mean, I was a rebellious little shit for a long time. And
what
like,
was your rebellion?
What you got?
I don't know.
Just being fucking grumpy as a teenager, grumpy long hair teenager guy.
Yeah.
And then I was religious
rebellion?
Religious rebellion?
Yeah.
I didn't need to because it wasn't very
maybe not from you
pushed on to me by my parents. Like I had religion, like I was brought up with religion around me. I had family members who were very religious, but my parents weren't.
Yeah.
So there was no emphasis on me to be religious. Okay. So they were able to just like kind of you make your own choices. So I had a little journey there like I between I don't know 10, 12 and 18, I went from Catholic to agnostic to atheist. And I remember that journey. I remember there was something I read or saw or something, and I was like, oh, okay, that's it, that was the last drop, all right, no, I don't know, I'm atheist. Yeah. Like, and it was very like clear moment. It wasn't like ha ha or anything. I didn't, you know, change anything. I was just like, no, that no, okay, that makes sense in my head now. All right, cool. Yep. And that was it. I no longer use the word agnostic. I say atheist now because it's clear in my head. But like I was just a grumpy shit. I was just grumpy with like my parents a lot. Aww. You know? Yeah, I know. But I think by the time I was 17, 18, I was a nice kid again. Yeah. But 14, 15, 16, I think I was a bit of a dick. Yeah. But anyway, not about me.
No. Give me your most Irish moment.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
If you were to a non-Irish person, say sort of what would you define, and yeah, like a really, oh my god, I am fucking Irish right now.
God, I don't know. I don't
I got four-leaf clovers growing up my ass.
I did probably like you'd probably just me in a pub would be like a moment of with me in a pub. But there, I did do something like kind of Irish, kind of anti-Irish at the same time when I, at some stage, my mother's partner, had a friend, Irish guy, Davey, really nice guy. And, he played around with paganism, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he was a pagan, but he played around with paganism. And one St. Patrick's Day, we went to a top of a mountain in rural West Ireland, right? And there was a bunch of us up there. Like we were invited to go. And we did a pagan ritual to bring back the snakes to Ireland.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Piss him off, or to like, was
kind of like it, I think I was too, I was really young at the time. I was like 14 maybe, or something like that.
Okay.
I wasn't that much of a dick because I was willing to go with my parents to something. But like, I think the idea was like to that St. Patrick had undone the truth of the lies, and like he shouldn't have got rid of the snakes were here first, we should allow the snakes to be here, something like that.
Okay.
It wasn't like, you know, fuck God or anything. It's like, no, bring them back, they were always here.
Yeah,
we did this weird pagan ritual. There was about 30 or 40 of us all like hand in hand running around. I totally forgot this, but like, you've asked me, this is what came up, so it's your fault.
I love this.
And there was like these two sticks stuck in the peak of the mountain, and that was meant to be a snake's eye, and we were the snake running up the mountain in a like proper Wicker Man shit, you know, running up, and we ran through the eye of the snake. I think we were singing something as well. I can't remember now.
Yeah, and then we in Gaelic, or
I can't remember. Okay. Probably could have been. Yeah.
Amazing.
And then we went off and got toasted sandwiches.
I have a lot of great images right now. Toasted sandwiches.
Yeah, we did that. We had a chat, and then we went off and got toasted sandwiches and
had a
coffee. Yeah. But like Ireland-esque things. I mean, nowhere else you got to like down like. It was proper Celtic.
Yeah.
Like it was going back to the Celtic pagan vibe, you know.
Nice.
But yeah. But
I think that would be something I would enjoy doing. Like, I remember when Abby talked about her journey to up in Lyra, this, and she lived in the Stone Age.
I want to say Stone Age.
Age. Some kind of, because I went up there and saw the Viking, they built this beautiful Viking kind of wooden building kind of thing. And I would love, and it's called Æsatrú. I would love to like actually try like some kind of ritual like that. I think that I would be open for that and find that fun, and like a fun cultural experience to also sort of dive into.
Yeah, and like,
I'd rather connect that to some kind of Danish history.
Yeah.
I think that I could get on board with, rather than like let's eat a lauke and the flag, and then you also avoid this kind of is this getting really nationalistic now, like we are seeing a bit of that in Europe, so yeah, that's a fine line to sort of being too proud of your country and like,
it's a tricky one.
Tightrope, yeah. But yeah, it's a funny thing, this thing, and I'm maybe seeking out some things I could be proud of as a Dane, or like connect to culturally, because there is the Dane in me, and I think there's also something so interesting about just because of my job, it's all in English. I speak so much English.
Yeah,
I think there's so much in the I was speaking about this to some other people, like the identity within your language also, and who you are, tempo, rhythm, stuff like that, like how much that's also part of your personality.
Yeah.
And I've last Christmas I did
you
some
gave work. Me my heart. No. Yeah.
I did a somewhat kind of maybe pagan ritual.
Yes. Ah, what's this? What did you do?
I did psychosilocybin mushrooms.
Okay.
On the 24th.
That's just mushrooms, right? I mean,
this is a psychedelic mushroom.
Yeah, but you did mushrooms, right? Is there anything particular about these, or we just know they're magic mushrooms?
They were just magic.
Right.
Mushrooms.
Okay. Yeah. Sure.
That was fine. It was fun. It wasn't crazy. But the one epiphany or whatever that came to me was that you need to sort of, there's something about your Danish side I need to sort of connect to or embrace or get back to. Like that was the only kind of,
your subconscious was telling you that.
Yeah, that's what I came out with that sort of. And so I have been somewhat trying that. Like what I don't quite know how to do it. If it's just talking Danish more or how to embrace it, but. That was kind of what I came out with. So
Marius goes to a cabin, right? Marius gets a cabin in North Jutland. You've completed everything you've wanted, right? You've got the money. You had a great career. You get a cabin in the north of Jutland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you become a poet. right?
I love this, yeah.
What language are you writing in?
I mean, if I'm north of Jutland...
Don't let... I mean, okay, that might have, like, skewed it a bit. Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, like, you've got... You're in solitude somewhere.
Mm.
Fuck it. No, you're in the mountains of Bulgaria in a monastery. All the other things still apply, but you're in a monastery in Bulgaria... looking down on Sophia, what language are you writing your poetry in? You're still a poet.
I'm still a poet, okay. Yeah, well, I think it would be English, but I'm also lucky that I can write, and it's sometimes quite interesting to see. I'm currently teaching improv in Danish to some 60-plus-year-olds. Doing that, like, I'm using some words that I just haven't used in... ages.
Okay, yes. You're speaking in a way you haven't in a while.
Yeah, and also because it's a 60 plus. Like, yeah. I think I'm being way more deliberate in my sort of choice of words, and I'm speaking a little bit slower.
Yeah.
Which I maybe don't need to actually, because they're very, you know, bright and sharp and
yeah.
But I just picked up on how, like, I haven't used this word in ages, but it's still in there, and I'm finding some kind of joy in that. Actually. So it would be interesting to try and write in Danish and see, like, I think it would take some practice, but, like, what comes out, how rich is my language in that sense.
Yeah.
Because right now, I think I have a broader, you know, there's more English words just in general, but, like, I think I would just think I would have a broader vocabulary in English.
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't speak Danish, right? I understand a bit. Mm-hmm. I understand a bit, and I can reply a little bit. But... When I'm watching basic stuff in Danish, like TV, or when my partner's talking to me in Danish stuff, when it's basic, I can get, like, concept, right? It's like, okay, I get what's happening here. It's this and this. And when you speak like that, when Danish is being spoken or written or performed or whatever in, like, a functional way, it's quite a basic language, right? It's really this to this, that to that, right? It's super. And there's, like, it's kind of like language plus plus. It's like 1984. It's like, you know, it's like, it's this with this equals that, right? Or mal that, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
big response, right? Except when you get to, like, poetic and literal, or like when you get emotional about something, that's when Danish, for me, from external point of view, when Danish changes into something different, because it becomes, sayings are everything. Like you said, when did you say it? You said in the last episode, you said it ages ago, you said, the central party are fucking themselves in the middle. Or what did you say? You said something to me and you're like, that's a Danish saying.
Yeah.
But like, there's so many things, like sayings just become part of a normal, like, sayings are,
think about it. Is that a Danish saying?
Or maybe you just say, are you just being rude?
I'm trying to think what the Danish saying would be, but yeah, anyway.
But you're speaking to me and you're like, but that makes sense in Danish.
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, the way I perceive it is that, like, sayings become words, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's used in a different way.
I was in the cinema, saw Poor Things, which has the manuscript. This, like, very interesting dialogue they have, and it's sort of mixture of sort of somewhat, like, old English and kind of childish ways of speaking.
Yeah.
And reading the Danish subtitles was so fascinating.
There were
so many words I was just like, oh my god, I've never heard of this word in Danish, I wouldn't know how to translate this to Danish. And also when we watched the Erndgaard, there was also
On the Patreon.
That's Patreon.
You can listen to that episode on the Patreon.
Exactly. There was also just some phrases that was just like, that I kind of got nostalgic about. Oh yeah, I haven't thought about it, or I haven't heard this, like, in years. Like, that you can say it like this, or slump butt, or like, there was just I can't sadly remember the really good ones now, but there was just some, like, funny phrase. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. So I have some kind of nostalgia, or, like, not pride, but, like, it gave me a little warm feeling.
We did an episode ages ago on we broke down a Anderson story. For those who don't know, I'm sure most people do, Anderson stories are mad. They're crazy. Is that because they're written in Danish, do you think, that they work better in Danish?
Yes,
or are they just crazy anyway?
I think they are. I mean, They're fantastic, I would say.
Sorry, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
I know what you mean. But yeah, I think it works better in Danish. Yeah. Like, that's also when we back translating them, like, it sounded more crazy than it.
Fantastical. Sort
of fantastical. The language, I think, does a lot in that sense. Mm-hmm. That's something, yeah, I was talking about this with someone, like, the art of storytelling.
Yeah.
Like, would you be able to, like, I couldn't be able to retell, like, I could summarize, but I wouldn't be able to retell, like, an H.E. Andersen fairy tale, like, in an entertaining way, like, without having to fucking read it and study it and, like, write notes and, like, be like, okay, like, and I think, you know, probably 50 years ago or or more, like, I think that was more of a common skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Irish people, aren't they known as great storytellers?
We are, yeah.
Great. Would you be able to tell, I don't know, not necessarily an Irish story, but like any kind of fairy tale or retell it well, do you think? I think that's kind of a lost art.
I don't know. I think I would.
Yeah?
I think I could give it a go.
Yeah?
I'd have to brush up on a, like, not like study it, but I think if you gave me an Irish, let's stick with Irish folklore.
Yeah.
I think I could probably tell another one. I could probably be able to get it across. Only because the way it was, I learned a lot of that, was they were maybe read to you, but often you went to see it. Like, the Irish folklore was either performed or somebody came in and told the story.
Yeah, okay.
Like, it wasn't like, and then, and this, and then. Mm-mm. It's like a couple of young actors from the local drama community came in and showed it to you.
Yeah.
So that's, and like, because it's done like that, you see the emphasis on this moment and that moment. And da, da. Like, I'm sure it's not all those stories, but because I did see that in a lot of the stories, it can translate to, okay, these are, like, you need to make that a point, you need to make this a point, you need to, like, I think you could do that.
Hmm?
But again,
it's something I would love to train myself. Like, I actually, think that would be sort of quite, also for, given them do a lot of performance and tell then, stories, like, in that sense.
Yeah, but then with the Andersen, it's like, how do I demonstrate that there's three dogs and one's the size of a tower?
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole different...
Eyes the size of teacups.
Eyes the size of teacups. I mean, this is like... I mean, you could tell, because you can tell it. You can just be like, and this happened and this happened. But how do you tell it well? Like, how do you tell something like that?
That's the
well,
art, right? That's the art form, Being a great storyteller.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of that with, like, being a good podcaster, being sort of whatever content you're making, there's storytelling of it, but I think it's changed so much about how we do that. Same ideas and principles, but, you know, culturally we're in a different place also, so yeah, you have to do it in a different way.
What about, are Danes storytellers?
I mean... For sure, there are some good Danish storytellers, I don't think, like, it's a strong
tradition.
That's not something I associate with sort of Danish culture that much. I'm sure there's some Danes would be, we have so many great storytellers, no. Just gonna say no. Say no to that one.
All right.
No. Did we tell a story?
I think so.
Damn right we did. I poured my heart out.
Yeah. So that was that was Marius's most Danish moment.
Very good. Join us next week for more news.
Yeah.
More chatty baddie.
Yeah.
And also for the Patreon listeners, you would get a special, very special episode.
Mm-hmm.
We won't reveal just yet what it's going to be about, but trust me, it's a goodie. It's a goodie. So we would just like for you to stay
coping.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.